Hi, y'all. It's Connor. Happy Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another incredible new episode of our podcast drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. Before we dive into this amazing chat with Meghan Keane, which is so seamless, so lovely, so fun, you're absolutely going to be obsessed with her. We've got something else for you. That's right. I've got to tell you about our Patreon, Drama Plus. At patreon.com/thedramapodcast, you get extra episodes featuring your favorite twins every single month, and you get access to our close friends on Instagram. So $5 a month at patreon.com/thedramapodcast. You support your favorite podcast, you support your favorite twins, and you get even more drama. What more could you ever literally want in your entire life? All right, thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the show and tell all your friends. All right, on to the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey. Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. We're together. You can tell by the snappy repartee. I always say that. I always say it. But listen.
Can we go back to recording in person forever?
I know. It was the best. I will say, like, sometimes it's so hard virtually to connect with the guest until you're really in the conversation.
I know. Well, the Zoom delay.
Yeah. But today is an exception because I feel like we're just like off to the races with our guests.
Snappy is, it's like an episode of Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah. Amy Sherman Palladino is shaking. Listen, our guest and this time of year has me sort of in a nostalgic mood right now.
So it's giving Gilmore Girls.
I guess so. It came up on my Facebook memories, a very dangerous thing, that 7 years ago this week was when I first started my full-time job at 54 Below. I was only in it for like 4 years. Yeah. Were we ever so young, as Joan Didion once said?
Oh, I mean, did I ever have more energy than I did at 22? Like, come on.
I don't know. I nap less now than I did then, I will say. But anyways,
no.
What is crazy about it, so a year before that, though, I was an intern there, and my first week was, like, the first week of August, okay?
I remember it like it was yesterday.
And my dear friend, Kelly McGurk, friend of the pod, was the intern before me, who I replaced. My first day was a Monday. I think it was, like, August 2nd or 3rd or something. The night before was our guest on Drama Today's solo debut at 54 Below, and she told me it was her favorite show that she had worked the entire summer.
Kelly's favorite?
It was Kelly's favorite. And I texted her when I knew that Meghan was coming on today, and she was like, this is crazy. Like, that was like my favorite moment of the whole summer. She had to like decorate the green room afterwards. Like, something happened up in the green room.
Oh, like a fun,
I don't know.
Little,
like a party maybe? I don't even know.
I love this full circle. I don't know if full circle's the right way, but I love when the universe kind of like brings you back around in that way.
That's what this podcast has ultimately done for us time and time again.
That's so true.
It's helped us heal childhood trauma.
Especially trippy when I am recording in Cleveland.
I know.
And I see like posters up from, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I'm looking around now.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, weird. They're like on the podcast today and like, I see their show poster.
I know.
That's especially weird.
That's fun. But so we're seeing Drag Race Live tonight here in Cleveland, Ohio, the All Stars edition. So very excited. But we have a fun moment on the pod today because we're catching this diva in between shows.
Between shows. This has only happened one other time in drama history.
It has.
And I'm gagged. We love those little milestones.
Yeah.
Like fun facts kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But so excited to chat with her literally between shows.
Yeah.
From her theater. So let's just
and
dive
we're
in.
Exhausting. So I can only imagine how exhausted she's going to be after doing a matinee, this, and then an evening show. But you know what?
Maybe we'll help keep her energy up before, so it doesn't crash between.
Okay, I like that thought.
Or we'll see. We'll see. Okay,
yeah.
But I'm going to do the intro. All right. Our guest today is a Broadway baby, currently slaying 8 times a week in Anne Juliet as Lucy, while covering Anne Hathaway and Nurse Angelique, and that's just the way it is, y'all. Before busting out onto the Stephen Sondheim Theater stage, this queen appeared in Emoji Land, The Last Supper, A Walk on the Moon, Escape to Margaritaville, Hairspray, Grease, The Marvelous Wonderettes, and so many more musicals, including thrilling workshops like Smash and God's Country. On television, she made memorable turns in For the People, Monsterland, and That Damn Michael Che. This star is also the better half of one of our most cherished friends of the pod, Ben Rappaport, with whom she's also a dog mama. She's known as an expert party planner and even once won a contest called Battle of the Belting Bitches. Please welcome to Drama,
Meghan Keane.
What a lovely intro. Hello.
Hello. I have, you know, I copped half of it from your website, which I always love when our guests have an updated website.
A good bio in that website.
This contest, the Battle of the Belting Bitches.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
What can you say?
That was, I feel like it was another lifetime ago. So it was basically like two teams, right? But I was on Team Hernando, and it was basically like each week they would each bring like a belting bitch to the stage, and we would go like head to head, just belting as high and loud as we can.
Where at?
Oh my gosh, it was at a bar that I don't think exists anymore on 10th Ave in Hell's Kitchen. It was, yeah, it was really fun.
What song clenched you the title?
Yeah, we need to know.
Did clench me the title. I don't know. I know you guys, this was like 12 years ago. I don't remember.
They say you're a true New Yorker when a place that you would frequent opens and closes in the time that you've lived there. And
so, you know what? So many of those things have happened. My husband and I were talking recently. There used to be so many restaurants on 10th Ave were like staples, like Vinyl. All these places. They just have all gone. And it's so sad, particularly post-pandemic. It was so sad.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I know, and the pandemic really forced a lot of those out, but I feel like you still see those anyway.
Yeah, you do.
Wow. Well, listen, we're so thankful to you for joining us between shows.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure.
It makes me feel kind of like, oh, like we're on Broadway, like literally.
We're on Broadway together.
I know, exciting. How was your matinee on the show being in Juliet? So yeah, it was a good matinee?
Yes. It was a good matinee. I'm still in full show beat. It was a great matinee. Yeah, we just switched over to a 5-show weekend. So this is our first, you know, we've done it for holidays, but now it is our schedule. So we have 2 today and 2 tomorrow. So
wow, what changed in the week otherwise? Like, is there like not a Wednesday night now or something?
No Wednesday nights now. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. But this Wednesday was so exciting because I had the night off and I could go see a show.
Oh my God, what did you get to see?
I saw The Outsiders, which I've been dying to see, and I thoroughly enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And it was so exciting. I was saying to Ben as we were sitting there, I was like, I can't believe I'm in a theater on a Wednesday night. It's so exciting and like so invigorating to be, you know, to come back to the show on Thursday and just feel so invigorated by like sitting in that house and like feeling like, oh my gosh, it's going to start. And oh my gosh, like my playbill. And so it was really, really exciting. And I like my soul was just so fulfilled from like being in the theater, mm-hmm. like, you know, on the other in the seats.
And that show is incredible, right?
Oh my gosh, it was incredible. Everything, the voices, the stagecraft, the direction, everything. It was gorgeous, gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I know, I'm obsessed with it. I've seen it 2 or 3 times and I would totally go back.
Oh my gosh, it was wonderful.
I mean, the boys are so cute. The boys in that.
They're so cute.
Oh my God.
And the talent is truly overflowing.
Their voices suit that music in such a way that like it really gave me goosebumps in the theater. And like, I was like, I have not felt like this in a long time.
Truly. And just what they're able to do with, I mean, every time you see the gravel come up, it's like so thrilling. It's so exciting. Mm-hmm. And then all the rain and the fire, it was, I don't want to give anything away, but it was really incredible.
I know. Even mentioning rain and fire, it's like, this is like an epic night. Theater.
Young adult novel.
Angela is epic too. You've seen it a couple of times.
Yeah.
On Broadway, but I saw it with Connor. We saw it like in, I think right after you guys opened.
Oh, okay.
Connor
okay.
went got to go back. And then we also saw it in the UK. We had to check it out.
Oh, you did?
So much.
Yeah. Yes.
Right before it closed. Jealous. We caught it in its final months. Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. It actually had Tom Francis, who's going to be
In Sunset Boulevard
yes. with Nicole Scherzinger. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so jealous of anybody that got to see it over there. You know, Oliver Thompson came and was our Shakespeare for a little bit here. And I just bugged him to death with questions of what it was like over there and, you know, just the creation of it. And Mel, who was our original nurse, you know, also did it over there and also was a part of the original workshop and everything. And it was so fascinating to hear how these characters were formed and came to be and informed by the people that originated them. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm always so jealous of anybody that got to see it over there.
Oh, it was great. But in the States, it's its own thing and it's still transferred so beautifully. And it's I love that. At first I was like, they're not doing accents. And I was like, no, it wouldn't feel authentic to not, you know what I mean? Like it was, everyone is who they are when they're on that stage. It's just such an incredible show. Has it been 2 years yet?
Almost 2 years. We just celebrated 750 performances.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really, really excited. I've never done something 750 times in my life before. So It was really, really exciting. And we got to celebrate it. We brought like balloons onto the stage and a big cake. And it was really nice.
Oh, I love it. Now, when you hear these songs, which are such a part of the zeitgeist, and you know, you go and can't get into a department store without hearing any of these songs.
Yeah.
Do you get amped or are you like, it's following me?
You know, sometimes a little bit of both. It always happens to be that I get into like a car, you know, if I take a car to work or something like that, it's a song from the show is always playing when I get in the car. And it's just such a reminder of how huge Max Martin is in all of the music that he's written. And just, yeah, how much in the zeitgeist and how hugely it informed our lives, the music that he's written. So a little bit of both. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm about to go sing this on stage and like 35 minutes. And then sometimes I'm like, it's my day off. I don't know if I need to listen to this music all day.
Right. Oh, that's so funny.
I know.
Talking to Mel and Oliver, did they ever say if there was any other songs that were meant to be in the show that never, like, didn't ultimately make the cut?
They did. Oh, yes, I do. I do know one. Domino, there was the song 22 was in the show. And there's actually like a piece of choreography that we do that spells out 22 in Domino that they loved so much that they kept. So yeah, I do remember it was 22.
And Taylor said, I'm saving it for my musical. I'm sorry.
Oh, she definitely. Exactly. I'm sure.
Wait, that's actually really fun. Oh, the choreo. There is so many things to love about Anne Juliet.
There really is.
I can imagine staying fresh after all these. I mean, I'm sure you weren't in all 750 of them just because got to.
But close. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, there's so much. It really is like a feast for the eyes and the ears. And it is so fun to do night after night. And the audience informs it so much particularly when I'm in like the player track, because we get to react and get feedback from the audience, you know, right off, you know, from the very beginning. We do a 6-minute pre-show where we get to come out, we get to like acknowledge that we're all going to be in this together. How exciting. This is the first night of Romeo and Juliet. And we're not pretending that the audience is not there. We're welcoming them in. And so there's something really special about that, because it is such a give and take between us on stage and the people in the audience.
For sure. And you get to cover also Anne.
Yeah.
And Angelique. Which one has gone on for more, would you say?
So I am the first cover for Angelique. So I go on for Angelique much more than I do for Anne. So yeah, I think I've done Anne like, this could be wrong, but I think like 12 times.
Okay.
I've done Angelique quite a bit.
Yeah. Both amazing roles.
Though. Oh, I mean, so, so fun. So full of life and love, and I really enjoyed doing both. I'm so lucky that I get to touch both of them every once in a while, you know?
When you're doing Angelique, which number is your favorite to sing?
When I'm doing Angelique, Teenage Dream is so fun. And I'm getting to work with Paolo. I mean, he's just
the
nicest, kindest, most giving man. And getting to do that on stage with him, I'm like, I pinch myself. I'm like, I'm doing a number with a Tony Award winner on stage every night. Like, hello? So yeah, Teenage Dream is so fun. And then, you know, obviously getting to do Fucking Perfect at the end of the show. So, so beautiful and special too. So that for Angelique and Anne, that's the way it is.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Undisputed. Such an amazing moment in the show too.
It is. It's so powerful too, to just get to stand and sing a Celine Dion song center stage on Broadway. I mean, incredible.
I know.
That is crazy.
Dreams. I'm sure there's like a moment where you're like, wow, like this is really happening.
Like, truly, the first time I went on, I was like, I cannot believe that this is my life. I really cannot believe this. And like, to be covering Betsy is a dream as well. Truly.
Oh yeah, she's one of the best. I loved her in Waitress. So I don't know if you got to see her in Waitress, but
I didn't get to see her in Waitress. But I've seen her in so many other things, in Drood and Falsettos, and she's the best.
Falsetto, of course. That was such an amazing moment in time.
It was.
Well, congrats on Juliet. We'll probably come back to it throughout this conversation over and over again. But we breezed right past one of our hallmark questions. Megan, are you well?
I'm so well. I'm really well. I just had some dinner. I'm sitting in a Broadway theater getting ready to do another show tonight. So I really am really well. You know, the weather today, it's like perfect. It's like, well, I mean, it's rainy, but I kind of like the rain. But it's like, you know, it's not too hot, not too cold. I'm ready for the fall to be here. So I am well. How are you?
Good. Great. We're good. I've just spent like I'm coming up to the end of it, but about a week like 8 or 9 day trip to Cleveland, Ohio, where I wanted to use a lot, some of my vacation days from work to truly just couch rot for like a week. Summer is always so crazy. It's actually never, I've never had a relaxing summer in my life. I don't know if anybody has truly, but so I wanted a little reset before the fall.
Oh, good for
so
you.
I've been binge watching some shows. I've been, well, I, you know, did bring two books with me and asked me how many pages I've read of either.
I know how that goes. I just watch TV all day and I'm like, you know, that book looks very good on my shelf.
I know. Oh, yeah. I know.
You're allowed though.
Right.
But I'm good. And it was actually our birthday last week. So I kind of came in for that too.
Thank you.
Cute. Yeah. And so it's always, we try to celebrate it together if we can.
Yeah.
And we did this year. So
yeah, it was
well, most years, but
yeah, things are really good right now. I love the fall. I'm so ready for the seasons to change and embrace.
And did you say you're going to, what are you doing?
Drag Race Live. It's like, yeah. I don't know if you're a RuPaul person.
Yes.
I mean, I guess everyone.
Drag Race. But, yeah.
So like a lot of the cast of All Stars is touring most. I think the only one who isn't is Nina West because she's doing other like cabaret stuff right now. But, and they do like a little show and they're coming around and I always love to see them live.
It's, of course. That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great time.
Did you have a good summer?
I really did. You know, it was so warm here in the city. So yeah, I had a really nice summer. We got to go on a vacation. Ben and I went on a vacation for a week, and that was so nice. And we literally did that by the pool and by the ocean, and it was just, we went to Grand Cayman, and it was so incredible. So yeah, I had a really nice summer. I get no complaints.
Is he filming his show yet?
No, not yet. He, but we did find out that the show got picked up when we were on vacation. So like, what a gorgeous, like he literally got the call that it was getting picked up when we were on the beach. And so what a lovely, extra good vacation that was.
You know if he'll film in New York?
No, they're going to film in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Wait, is this, what's the show again?
It's called Grosse Pointe Garden Society and it's going to be on NBC.
Oh,
yeah. We love a network drama.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Love. Network isn't dead.
That's right.
Network's not dead.
No, not at all. And now Ben's on it. So everybody has to watch.
I know. Yeah. Well, I told him I was a For the People viewer. Sure. And I remember when you up on there, me and my parents, whenever they would visit New York, I for some reason had a DVR in our apartment. This is like streaming maybe hadn't fully become a thing yet.
You know? There was that transition period where, you know, like Hulu, like sometimes had things on it, some seasons.
Or sometimes it would wait till the whole thing came out and then it would go on or whatever. Right. But I would DVR For the People. Whenever our parents would come visit in New York, I would watch it with them.
That was such a good show. Such a good show. And Ben and I's first time ever working together was on that show. And we got to film that episode and that scene. I'll never forget it. We were sitting in this little teeny, teeny room and he was, you know, asking me questions. And there were camera guys very, very close to us in this small room. And of course, he knew the camera operators because he'd been working with them all season. And I was just coming in for the day. And he looked over at them and said, "This is my wife." And they kind of chuckled and laughed and were like, "Oh, ha, ha." And he was like, "No, really, that's my wife." Oh my God. So it was really, that was really, really cool. Really cool.
Oh my God.
And we're
dying
to do something else together. We want to do it.
I know. I can't remember when he did the podcast. I probably asked him if there's, and listeners, please, you're yelling it into the, in your cars or whatever. You're like, "Yes, Connor, you already asked this question," but I have a really bad memory now.
Same. Actually.
Oh my God. It's gotten so much worse. I don't know if I need to do puzzles, but, or, you know, like those.
Sudoku.
But do you two have like a dream play or something you're always like, "Oh, we're going to do Virginia Woolf together" or something, you know?
We really want to do Annie Get Your Gun or Guys and Dolls together.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Now, which couple in Guys and Dolls? Do you even want to be in the same couple?
I don't even know that we would need to be in the same couple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm an Adelaide, you know? So it's like.
And he's a Sky.
And he's a Sky. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know. But Annie Get Your Gun for sure.
And we're due for a new production of that.
Right? Or like the last 5 years or, I don't know, anything. Listeners, anything.
And the last 5 years would actually be perfect for you guys. Now
really
that I think about it, you know?
You're a big JRB fan, aren't you?
I love him.
Love. I know there's lots of videos of you on YouTube singing different songs of his.
I know.
Yeah.
I love his music and it's so fun to sing. I love it so much. Another thing I saw Betsy in. Oh, the last 5 years.
Okay, wait. So I mentioned at the beginning, this 54 Below, this was your debut in the summer of 2016.
I cannot believe you remember that. Mm-hmm. That is incredible.
I know. So there was some JRB in that concert, if I remember correctly.
There was so much in that concert. And that night just truly felt like a fever dream because I had been waiting to do this solo show for so long. And it was like my wedding night because everyone that I like loved and knew most in this world came in for it. And I still say to this day is like one of the hardest things ever is to produce a solo, you know, cabaret show. So.
I'm sure. Can you refresh my memory? Was there some sort of a post show party upstairs or something that happened?
Yeah, you know, there was, okay. But I think it was just like we're all just going to drink champagne.
Okay.
Because I think I had gotten engaged right before that.
Okay.
Dylan was telling me earlier, he's like, no, like they literally got engaged at her 54 Below show. And I was like, I don't think they did.
But then I remember I think we asked Ben your engagement story and I don't think it involved 54. So,
oh, that's
no, we got engaged on the Broadway theater when he was doing Fiddler.
That's right. Okay.
Wait, want to hear something crazy? Is Dylan got engaged this February in
front of Stephen
Sondheim. In front of Stephen Sondheim. Yeah.
You did not.
And you know what? You kidding? You might have been on that night for Betsy. If you went on February 22nd, 2024.
I'll have to look back.
Beyonce, he had this big plan. He wanted to propose in front of the Sondheim for whatever reason. I love the pink lights and everything.
Yeah. And it was like pink lights. It was like Sondheim. It was Dylan Loves Aunt Juliet. Right. You know, it was kind of, it's like a quieter side of Times Square theater district.
Yeah. And we're walking down the street. I have no idea it's about to happen. And I was like, you know what? I'm such a Broadway nerd. It was like just after curtain. Like it was like, just after 7. And I was like, I want to go in and look at the understudy board. I just want to see if there's any understudies on tonight.
Who's on? Yeah.
Who's on? And I just asked a really sweet security guard. Cause you know, the understudy board's inside. You have to stand
inside right as you go in.
I go, can you look for me? And he goes, no, Betsy. And I turn around to Hunter and I just go, no, Betsy. And then he's like, hey, let's take a selfie. And then he proposed like a minute later or whatever. So you might have been on that night.
Oh my gosh, I kind of feel like a very small part of your engagement. That's so exciting.
You were there.
I really was. Well, congratulations. That's so exciting.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And how many years have you and Ben been married at least?
We've been married for 7. Okay. Almost 7. It'll be 7 in September. And we've been together 17.
17.
Yes,
because you were high school sweethearts in a way, right?
You know, in a very, not really, but like, how do I say this? We knew each other in high school, but we didn't date until college.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, and we didn't even go to like the same high school. We just, our theater departments would always compete against each other in one act play.
This is refreshing. Okay. This is all coming back to me.
Wait, did you think he was cute back then? Were you like,
oh, I'm so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cute and so nice and so talented. Like I get a big talent crush, you know, and he was obviously so talented.
And what show were you doing at this competition?
It was multiple years, but I think we were doing a version of Macbeth. I think he did Hamlet. And another year, I think we did Blood Wedding.
Oh my.
I don't remember what his school did that year.
This is like a legit high school theater program.
No, truly. And public schools.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was really amazing.
So were you guys like Facebook friends and that's how you stayed in touch?
Exactly.
Okay.
And at our wedding, we actually had somebody read aloud like our first like conversations that we had over Facebook the year that we started dating. It was like, hey, here's my number. I was like, hey, here's mine. But we ran into each other at Potbelly Sandwich. Anytime I eat Potbelly, I always think about my Ben, you know.
Aww, that's so cute. Okay, wait, so thinking about high school, you know, back in the day, we do like to kind of touch back on those early memories that might have been like the light switch flipping on. We call it the Ring of Keys moment, where you realized a life in the arts was bound to be your destiny. Do you feel like you have a Ring of Keys moment?
I do. It's so clear to me because in second grade, my school was doing Annie and I went home and I was like, I want to be in the school play. And my mom was like, okay, well, you know, audition. So I was in second grade and I did. And I remember I like left and I was like, that was even the audition was just so fun. And I had felt like just so excited and alive to do this little, like, it's a hard knock life dance call, you know?
Yeah.
And when I booked Molly,
of course,
you know, of
pivotal.
course.
She's the one that sings the maybe. Pivotal. She sings maybe with young Anne.
Exactly.
Young Anne.
Young Anne. And then I did it, and I truly, truly just never stopped from there. I went and did community theater. I begged my mom to and dad to put me in voice lessons, and they did, and they and dance class. And then I joined like a little group of like young women that we would go and like perform at like retirement homes or like you know, wherever it was. And I really can't like think of a time that I didn't want to do this, that I didn't know that this was everything to me. But post that, post Annie in second grade.
Yeah. Second grade too is really young. So that you were really able to like invest in it over years too.
Yeah. And then we lived in Orange County, California. And I think my parents started, you know, it's their kid. So they of course thought I was good and talented, but I think they started getting some like, you know, feedback from people like, oh, I think she really has something. And so I was like, I want an agent. My mom was like, what do you know about agents? Well, the other girls have one. And so I got an agent, and we would go into LA. My mom and dad would drive me, you know, into LA from Orange County, and I would go on auditions. And one of the very first auditions I ever went on was Interview with a Vampire.
Ooh.
In my 54 Below show, I did a whole medley of what if I had gotten that job instead of Kirsten Dunst. And so I sang all like songs from Kirsten Dunst movies as a like what would have happened if I would have booked that job.
So wow, this fun. Is a sliding doors moment for sure.
Right?
Bring it on.
Right, exactly. Marie Antoinette, like, yeah, so many.
Was there a Mona Lisa smile?
There was, of course there was.
Love it. Of course there was.
And I have to, one day I have to bring that medley back because it was very fun and very funny.
Yeah. So. And okay, wait, off topic in a way, but I just started watching The Real Housewives of Orange County from the very beginning.
Talk to me. You are talking to the right person.
Are you a Housewives person?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my.
All of them. Like all of them. All of them.
So this is my final frontier.
There's one franchise I've just never gotten into. And I feel like I went back and started watching Potomac because I'd never like gotten into it. Mm-hmm. And I had just went back and I think I'm on like season two now, but but every other franchise. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So are they from Coto de Casa?
Coto
de Casa. Yes. 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 Were you near
yes, absolutely. Right. I lived in Dove Canyon. So right there.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I love it so far. I'm on season four. So it's like Vicky. It's
totally Gina it's Key. Tamara.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You have such a journey ahead of you. I'm so excited for you.
I am too. I've kind of put this off forever because it's been such an ambitious. I think they're on season 18, right?
Yeah,
now.
It really is. That's the problem, is when I always tell people like really good entry is like Salt Lake City, because there's not so many seasons.
100%. And it's thrilling that one as well.
I mean,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's thrilling.
Are you excited for the new season? Coming soon. I think in like a week and a half. Yeah.
Coming so soon. I'm so excited. The answer is yes.
Thrilling. Do you love anyone? Like, would you like lay down your life for any of the women on that one?
I mean, with like all the respect in my heart, I don't know if I would lay down my life.
I wouldn't either, now that I say it out loud.
Like, I mean, I just, the fashion, the drama, it's just, I mean, all of them, they're all fabulous.
I'm kind of into Angie. I kind of like Angie.
Angie in the sunglasses. What a thrill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I recently bought a pair of sunglasses that are kind of giving Angie, and I'm going to wear them to a Lady Gaga boat party next Saturday. So stay tuned.
Please send me a picture. I cannot wait to see.
Yeah.
I really can't.
I can't wait. Okay, so Orange County auditioning in LA, mm-hmm. and then we kind of skipped ahead to like you were performing in these one acts in high school. Yeah. Where did you end up going to college? Did you study theater properly in school?
So my parents, we and my family and my older brothers, we all moved from California to Houston. And that's kind of where like my real love for the theater really, like I always did theater in California, but I was auditioning for a lot of commercials and TV and movies and things like that, still taking voice lessons. But when I moved to Houston is where I really, because there just isn't a whole lot of television and film there, or wasn't at the time, really fell in love with theater. So from from there, I moved to St. Louis and I went to school at Webster Conservatory and majored in musical theater. Yeah.
Nice. Was it a good experience?
The best experience. Truly the best experience. The program is incredible. They really have a really strong emphasis in acting, which is what I needed, and met the greatest friends of my life. And I'm so grateful for that program and helping make me into the artist I am today, really.
Have you ever gotten to go? I think I asked Ben this exact same question. Have you ever gotten to go back and like teach a class, master class?
I would just love it. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't
know. You're busy. You're busy, I will say.
I hope I get to do that because it would really bring me like the most joy. I do try to go to their showcase and I do stay connected to some of my teachers and try to see them when they're in town. So, yeah.
I feel like they did their showcase at 54 Below once or twice. Like, yes. They had like, on the 11:30 slot was a thing. I feel like they would do it.
Yes, they did. And or if they didn't do the full like showcase there, they would do like a cabaret after their showcase and have people go there and sing.
Yes. And so all your besties are still from your college days? Like you made like lifelong friends.
My closest friends in this world are still from there. And going to see one of them get married next month. So I'm so excited.
That's what it's all about, right?
It really is.
That's really special.
It really
is. Did a lot of us move to the city together after school?
Yeah, a lot of us moved together. And then, you know, slowly people moved out of the city or, you know, kind of pursued other things here and there. But a lot of us, I mean, there was two groups. There was a lot of people that moved to LA or a lot of people that moved here, but more here than LA. And then I moved here, I think like 4 days after graduation. And, got my own apartment, but of course just stayed with him every single night. I don't know why I got that apartment.
Of course.
And been together ever since.
Were your apartments close to each other?
Oh my gosh, no. He lived with his roommate Scott from college on 48th and 8th or 49th and 8th. 49th and 8th.
Prime location.
And I knew nothing about New York City. Nothing. And I was trying to find an apartment, not living here. So I found one on Craigslist and I can't believe this is a real story. And I flew in for like a day and I moved to Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
Oh my God. I'm not even familiar.
If you don't know, it's gorgeous and it's amazing, but it is not super close to Midtown where all the auditions were. And at the time I was an EMC candidate, which is not even a thing anymore.
Right.
So I would have to get to the equity auditions like so early to put my name on the list and, you know, getting on that train at 4 a.m. to try to get to Midtown in time. So yeah, I stayed with Ben on 40. Yeah. I stayed in Bayridge. So they couldn't have been further away from each other.
And then I did see that Emoji Land was on your resume and that was like an off-Broadway moment with like an all-star cast.
Yeah, so I have a really interesting story about Emojiland. So it was at Nymph first.
Mm.
And so I did it at Nymph. And it was so special and so amazing. And then when it went to Off-Broadway, I didn't end up doing it. Okay. And it was an emergency situation. Natalie Weiss, who was playing the construction worker, got sick. And they called me. It was like 4:45 on, I think like Wednesday, and the director called me and he said, "Hey, I have a huge favor to ask of you." And I was like, "Okay." And he said, "Do you think that you could go on as the construction worker tomorrow night?" And I was and you have to remember it was a good amount of time between Nymph and the Off-Broadway production, and they had re-rehearsed it. The songs were in, some of them were in different keys. The script had changed and adapted and grown, really. Choreography was completely different. I was like, okay. I said, can I get some rehearsal? And he said, yeah, we could do rehearsal tonight. And then we can tech tomorrow. And then you would be on stage tomorrow night. And if you need to hold a script in your hand, you can. So I went and I did, I think it was like a 4-hour rehearsal. And then I stayed up all night with Ben and we just drilled lines like over and over. And I taped the choreography and I just went over it in my living room over and over and over again. And then I was on stage the next night at 7:30. So I did a very short stint off Broadway. I think it was like four to 5 days or 3 days, not very long, but that was my story with Emojiland, which was wild.
Oh my goodness. You're a professional for turning it out like that. Literally. I'm amazed.
That's right. Or just a basket case and just stress the entire time, you know?
Was it fun when you actually got to do it?
Oh my gosh, so fun. I've never been more proud of myself because I was scary. Oh my gosh, it was scary. And I had to just say what's going to happen is going to happen. And I was familiar enough with the lines that I didn't need to carry the script, but I was terrified. I was terrified.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine putting all that in your brain and being it. But maybe it's the adrenaline. And like you said, the stress and the nerves.
Yeah. And I think once you do a show, even though it had changed so much, it lives back in the brain somewhere, you know? So it was, and you know, Leslie Margarita and Josh Lehman were a part of it still, who I did it with at Nymph, and they were just so lovely and so welcoming and so kind. And so it felt like family a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I love that. We listed, you know, your entire resume when we first started chatting with you at Mojo. It was on there, of course. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all the way through here to Anne Juliet. Is there another credit you're very proud of that you've gotten to do in this time?
I mean, I feel like I'm so proud of so many of them. One that like sticks out so much to me is I got to do Escape to Margaritaville at the Algonquit right when the world was kind of starting to open up post pandemic. Uh-huh. And we did it. They built a huge theater outside and it was tented. And I'll never forget it because it was not being able to do theater and what you love and what makes you tick for so long. Getting to go back into a rehearsal room, and it was, you know, wild times. We were testing every single day before we went in, and the masks and singing through the masks and all of those things. But there was just something so special, and so something so special about the bond that we created and just the amount of appreciation and love that we had for what we were doing. I was so proud of that. And it was so hard because we were in a hot tent doing an Escape to Margaritaville. So it worked, but, but we were just hot and sweaty and just so grateful to be doing it. So that sticks out to me because I just had the best time.
That's amazing. And then Anne Juliet came a knocking shortly thereafter? Or?
Yeah, shortly thereafter. So I didn't do the Toronto out of town.
Okay.
And they needed to fill just this one role. Katie Garrity had booked Into the Woods on Broadway. So she went to go do that. So they needed just my track for the OBC. And I went in and I remember I went back in my email and I had sent my agents an email about Anne Juliet back when they were casting Toronto. And I said, I think I'm right for these roles. Having never seen it on the West End or anything, but just from the breakdown, I was like, I think I'm right for Lucy. I think I'm right for Angelique. I think I'm right for Anne. And I think I'm right for Lady Capulet. And, you know, I didn't end up getting it for Toronto. And then getting the call that they were wanting to see me for Broadway and then booking it and seeing the roles that I got to cover from that original instinct of just reading the breakdown was so cool.
Yeah.
And I rehearsed the show by myself first because they all knew the show coming from Toronto and they weren't doing a ton of changes between Toronto and Broadway. So I was in a rehearsal room with the associate choreographer for 5 days and I learned it by myself with our pianist and our associate music director and then got into the room with everyone, which I was terrified.
Yeah.
people knew the show and had been working together. I was so scared, but they couldn't have been kinder and nicer. And then I got to join the company for the opening night. It was really exciting.
That's so magical. You know, I've got to ask, you know, it's 750 plus performances now. What are some highlights from this last almost 2 years of being part of Anne Juliet?
Highlights, the Tony Awards. Getting to perform on the Tony Awards. I'll never forget it. I remember sitting, you know, in my living room as a kid, as an adult. I mean, 3 years ago, I remember sitting in my living room just being like, that must be the coolest experience ever. And getting to do that, I will just never forget it. The Thanksgiving Day Parade, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, getting to perform on that, unbelievable and so cold and just thrilling. And debuting all of my understudy tracks are days that I'll never forget. But particularly when my parents got to come see me play a principal on Broadway, I don't know that it gets better than that. It was really just magical.
Oh, because they supported you the whole way through, too. I mean,
oh my gosh, my parents have, and my brothers and my sister-in-law, and my in-laws, I mean, everyone, they have believed in me, you know, when I didn't believe in myself. And they knew that this could be, I'm going to get choked up. They just have believed in me and have been my biggest supporters. And so to get to see, you know, get to share this experience with them is really like pinch me, really.
Oh my goodness. When you said it, like chills like rippled through. I was like, I'm gonna cry too.
I know. It is truly like life's dreams. Mm. Life's dreams. And when those happen, I think we have to speak on them and talk about them and recognize them, because you can't let them go by.
Yeah. And you're on the cast album too, right?
I'm not on the cast.
Oh.
I know, it's the one thing I didn't get to do, because they did it before they came to Broadway. So next one, I really
there's
hope
still
I get
some
to be
firsts
like,
out there.
That's true.
Still some
you
firsts
know
out
what?
There.
I say that too. I'm like, there's still one first that I haven't gotten to do yet, and so I'm really really excited about that.
Yes, it's gonna happen.
And
I know it.
The sky's the limit. Dreams are gonna keep coming true for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're such a good person, and the energy you put out comes back.
That
so.
Really is best compliment ever. Thank you.
Of course. No, I mean, seriously. Oh my God. Oh my God. Well, sadly, this conversation is wrapping up.
Yeah, we gotta let you get ready for your next show.
Oh, I know.
How sad.
We're gonna start hearing announcements over the intercom soon, I'm sure.
You are. You're gonna hear half hour here pretty soon. You are.
Before we say goodbye, we always end on a dose of drama. This is that piece of pop culture, that thing, that thought. Mm. That we just need to share with our listeners. Mm-hmm. Could be not dramatic. Could be a recommendation. Could be a rant. Could be a raid.
Okay.
Could be truly anything. And I've got something on my mind. So I'm so excited about the upcoming films that are coming out over the next, you know, et cetera, month. Well, you know, there's film festival season occurring now.
Sure.
And then we're going to start hearing like, oh, what has Oscar buzz? What has, you know, this, mm-hmm. this, that. This one movie that I am just over the moon excited for is Luca Guadagnino's new film, Queer. Daniel Craig, Drew Starkey, Omar mm-hmm. Apollo's in it. And it just had its premiere at Venice this past week. And I cannot wait. And it's going to be at the New York Film Fest. And I have a friend who's trying to get me a ticket. So ooh, y'all,
fingers crossed.
We're going to see. But I love this time of year when you're like, oh, what's going to be good? Like, oh, you know, is Gaga and the new Joker going to be this performance? Talk about forever. Is it Nicole Kidman's new movie? Is it
Angelina Jolie is mm-hmm. going to be in the Maria Callas movie?
Yes. And Ben and I are going to see Beetlejuice on Monday, which we're so excited about.
We saw it. We got to see it. It's great.
Yes.
It's really
so
great.
So good.
So mm-hmm. fun.
We're going to rewatch original, and then we're going to go see that on Monday, which we already like pre-ordered our popcorn. We're so excited.
You got that good AMC, Ben.
That good AMC popcorn. Yes.
I did the same. I rewatched the original, which I don't even know the last time I've seen it, or, you know, the Broadway one was more clear in my mind.
Exactly.
I did miss Gina Davis, I will say, in Beetlejuice, but you know, her character, you know, they explain, you know, if you remember the original film. Yeah.
Iconic.
You know, and Alec Baldwin played opposite her. I don't know if you remember that, but he was the other.
Wow.
Oh my God. I did not remember
that.
The
first time I watched it, I was like, which Baldwin brother is this? Because he's so young and it looked different than the guy I am come to know from like 30 Rock and SNL and everything. But okay, that's fun.
Right. Okay, well, now I'm even
I know, it's very fun. Okay, so that's fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
What
to
about
see
you?
That.
Do you have a dose, Dylan?
I would say, you know, with the change of weather, I love like a cozy British like crime thriller or like mystery or something. And there's a show that I just binged on Netflix called Fool Me Once. And I did not know any of the people in it or anything. The concept is this, okay? Yeah. A woman who is like a British Army veteran, she returns home because her sister was killed. And then shortly thereafter, her husband dies. And she then goes to look on the nanny cam like the next day, and her husband is on it. He's there. He's in the apartment. He sees their little child. And it was like, is he still alive? Is she hallucinating? What happened here? And it's a really twisty thrill ride series. It's a series. Yeah.
It's really good.
It was good. It was really good.
Hey, yeah, that actually sounds really good.
You know, it was like very British too, which I love. You know,
yeah,
you love
very,
all things.
Very cozy, very British.
Very cozy British. Yeah. But it's modern as well too. So I recommend that. But anyways, Megan, do you have a dose of drama other than Beetlejuice? And you're excited about that?
Okay. My dose of drama. I have two. My little side piece is that we just watched the Renfair documentary. Have you guys the docuseries?
You're the second person to tell me about this, but
wow. Highly recommend. And I've never been to the Renfair, and now I'm like absolutely dying to go. So
I know Robin Herder goes every year. I don't know if you're no Robin.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. I just saw that on her Instagram. I was like,
she loves
tears. It looks
she
amazing.
She gets all dressed up. Yeah.
She really does. So highly recommend the Renfair docuseries. Fascinating.
Okay.
And then I just have a recommendation that I really need your listeners to know about.
Okay.
My in between or post show or in the middle of the show snack. And it's very important. Quest protein chips and dipped in Good Culture cottage cheese.
Oh my God.
It sounds horrific. Don't think that I don't know that it sounds horrible. But when I tell you it is the best snack, you can all thank me later. It is so good. It tastes like a delicious, like, naughty treat. And it's, like, so high in protein and so delicious. It's so good, you guys. It's so good.
Cottage cheese is good for you, too.
It low-key hits.
And I've never been a cottage cheese fan. Like, kind of low-key always thought it was disgusting until I had Good Culture cottage cheese. So good. It makes me want it right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, I can imagine you're burning so many calories during the show that you need, like, a little bit of a boost.
When I tell you I'm so hungry.
When are you able to snack?
My kryptonite backstage is there's always a candy jar and it is, people are always filling it. And so I'm always just digging into this candy jar. And sometimes I will like just smack my own hand to like get out of the candy jar. So that's like in between whatever number you can, you know, eat a fun size Snickers the fastest. But I always eat like just a little something at intermission, like either like a piece of fruit or like something, depending on how hungry I am that day.
Yeah. And Quest makes chips.
Yes.
Is this like a hack? I've never.
I swear they're so good. They're so good. Chips, cottage cheese.
All right.
That's
We're
going
to have to go get some and let you know.
Yeah, please do. No. Send me pics. Can't wait.
Megan, you are a damn delight. This was so much fun. Our listeners are going to love you. They already love you, but this is going to be such a treat.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys having me on. This was so, so fun.
Yay.
Oh, yay.
And you're just at It's Megan Kane on all the socials, right?
On all the socials. It's Megan Kane.
I love that name. I one time wanted to change my email to It's Connor McDowell, but didn't.
Really? I have my friend Michael Hull to thank for that because I didn't have Instagram and he took my phone and made my handle It's Megan Kane. So I actually had no say in it. But if you scroll all the way back on my Instagram, my first photo is with Michael. So
we love him. He did our new podcast art. He shot our photos for like the rebrand for iHeartRadio Broadway.
The best. Very lucky to call him my best friend.
I know you guys are like truly best friends.
Very, very close.
You know when people post new headshots and they're like, so-and-so made me feel so comfortable. You know, like they always write that.
He really does.
He does. It was genuinely really so fun. We were just listening to music. He's like, oh, turn your shoulder this way. And all of a sudden we got the.
And then just picks up the camera and starts shooting. And that's how he gets the most authentic, beautiful, real photos of people that really represent them. And he's great. Highly recommend. Go get your headshots done.
I know.
Love.
Look at him getting all the promo today from us too.
That's right.
Thank you so much for doing this with us. Everyone needs to go check you out and Juliet. And I know you post when you go on for any of the principal tracks. Yes. Not to see you slaying as a player. Lucy.
Thank you. Yeah. I always post Lucy with the long red hair.
Yes. We wondered if you'd be in your Lucy wig during the recording. We weren't sure if you'd take it off during.
The wig room is right there. I wish I would have put it on. That would have been so fun.
And while everyone's following at It's Megan Kane, they've got to follow us at The Drama Podcast. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Connor is at Connor McDowell. And thank you again, Megan. We adore you. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.